So once again, turn now to the living word of God, to the book of Ruth in chapter 2. Chapter 2. And as I said before, we have been taking a very high overview of this book. There are many sermons within it. But yet we're looking at the central theme that runs through each chapter. And this morning, by the grace of God assisting us, I would like to consider the words of verse 19. So that's Ruth chapter 2 and verse 19. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Where have you gleaned today? And I think if you were going to sum up this chapter, and if you were going to give it a short heading, I think the heading that you would give it is "Where humility meets grace." Where humility meets grace. And then for those of you that were here last week, we noticed that there was a famine in the house of bread. Bethlehem, Judah, and the reason there was a famine in the house of bread is because God's judgment was upon the people. And it was in the last verse of Judges chapter 21 that we read, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." So there was the people acknowledged Yahweh. People did not totally disregard him, but they also worshipped other gods. And here, sandwiched between Judges and Samuel is this book, and by the Spirit of God it's been put here, and it's here to show us that in spite of all that's going on in the history of mankind in relation to the worship of God, and in relation to the rebellion of the people of God, that God is still acting out in his providence a church that he is going to deliver and save by his covenant promise. And here, again, we see the golden thread running through Scripture from Genesis, and you'll see it in the Old Testament running through at times. You think that the church has its end, but then up pops salvation again. You think that it's all going to be finished, and it's not. And you think that history and everything that the devil's trying to do to suppress the church of Christ on this earth, you think that it's all finished, but it's not. And the book of Ruth reminds us that in God's providence, that he is in control, that he is working. And there we come here into chapter 2. Orpha had left and gone back to the country of Moab. Naomi was going to return to her own homeland, Bethlehem, Judah, and with her came Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law. So we have those two individuals in chapter 2, and now we're introduced to a third character in the story, whose name is Boaz. And I guess you could be forgiven if you could, in a sense, ask the question, why isn't this not called the Book of Boaz? Because really everything is central and now centered around Boaz from verse 2 onwards. It's all going to be Boaz and Ruth's communication. And it's going to be for what Boaz can do for her that's ultimately going to be the highlight of this book ending in their marriage. But you see, it's called the Book of Ruth because it's what Boaz is going to do for Ruth. That's the most important thing of this book. And underlining that is what God is showing Naomi, even in her own coming back in repentance, that he hasn't forgotten about her. She's going to be blessed. She's going to be blessed through Boaz also. She already knows the covenant, Yahweh, God. She is an Israelite. The writer here is at pains. I think it's seven times he highlights in this book, Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth the Moabitess. It's always the Moabitess there to state that she is an outsider. She is not, in a sense, welcomed into this community. She is not part of this community. She is a Moabitess. Now then, you can imagine when they return, what's going on in their minds. The first problem we encounter, where are they going to stay? And the second problem we encounter, who's going to supply them with food? Two widowed women in Israel in that day, no husband, no man to provide, major problem. Major, major problem. And wherever they stayed that night, whatever roof they were under, you can imagine the worry that they had in the morning, their conversation with one another. Well, what are we going to do? Naomi now is old. Ruth is in her youth. Now, Ruth could have easily turned around and said, well, this far the Lord has taken us in his providence to this point, so we'll just sit here at the breakfast table and we'll just trust that he's going to take food to us every day, and that's that. You see, that's not what faith does. And you see, you'll notice that the reaction of Ruth at this point is a result of what happened in verse 1 when she said that your God will be my God. In other words, your God, my God, your people, my people. And now this faith that Ruth already has is going to be exercised in what she is going to do. She is not going to sit at a table worrying who is going to fill that table with food, who's going to provide at that table. She's going to go out and she's going to express herself as a Moabitess, as a stranger, as a pilgrim in this land. She's going to go out and she's going to glean because it's harvest time. She occupies a twofold position. She occupies a twofold position in verse 12. Notice what Boaz says. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel. Listen. Under whose wings you have come for refuge. Do you know what in Hebrew that states this? Plain English is this. Under whose wings you have come for refuge, because your faith and your trust is now placed in Jehovah. She left all the other gods of Moab. She turned her back on Moab. And now she has placed her trust in the Yahweh, in the covenant God of Israel. And it's under his wings that she is now looking by faith for him to provide for her. That is what Boaz says in verse 12. And another position she's going to enjoy is the blessing in the fields of Boaz. You see, the fields of Boaz had, as if it were, metaphorically speaking, it had the bread of life for Ruth. It had the bread physically for her, and it was going to have the bread spiritually for her. And this was going to be the means in which Ruth was going to be able to glean with the women and become part and not feel isolated because of the grace that Boaz is going to show. And it's with those people in the fields of Boaz. Do you know that when God saves a soul, do you know what he does? He always makes provision. He never saves a soul and isolates it and doesn't make any provision for it. He opens doors. When you first came to know the Lord, those of you here today
who are Christians along the road, you can cast your mind back at days when you first came to know the Lord, and all of a sudden you were introduced to Christian people and you were brought to a church that you felt homely and you enjoyed. And there you were gleaning, and all of a sudden the way was made clear for you, all the worries that you had. But I'm going to be on my own, and how am I going to find other Christian friends that understand my temptations and understand all my needs? But God provided under His wings. And you see, it is this essential fact at this stage that I want to stress. There are so many people today that think they can be a Christian, but they don't need the church, they don't need the prayer meeting, they don't need fellowship with God's people, they don't need anything else. I'm a Christian and I can just go along doing exactly what I was doing, going along with the people who I went along with. Now, I'm not saying that when you become a Christian that you cut off all friendship with everyone you knew and said, I can't talk to you anymore because I'm a Christian. But what I'm saying is that when you become a Christian, this is God's provision, this is God's providing for you, that you come under the hearing of His word, under the discipline of the church, under the fellowship of other Christians, and under all those things in order, why? That your faith would grow. You cannot be a Christian isolated on your own and expect growth. However your personality may be, you may be so shy that you can't really enter into any conversation with people. That's not needful. Christ's not asking that of you today. But He's asking you today to be in the fields of Boaz, under His word, when it is an appointed time for you to be under His word on the Sabbath day. He's asking you to come to prayer meetings. So many Christians today, they don't believe in coming to prayer meetings. They don't want to come to prayer meetings. They've got no interest in coming to prayer meetings. And you see, it's that ordinance that God has in His providence given us to uphold us. And you make sure, as I also have to make sure, that it's my business that I attend those things as often as I can in God's providence, if I have my health and there's nothing else in the way. Now then, there is one thing here that stands out first of all, and it is this. I would like to call it barriers. Ruth had a barrier. She had come out of Moab. Things that was once all important are no longer important. She wants to express her love not just to Yahweh, but to the people of Yahweh. But you see, there's one barrier, and it is this. She is a Moabitess. And you know, to be part of the people of God, the writer is emphasizing, as I said, this word, Moabitess, time and time again, to tell us one thing. That she could not enter into the covenant people of God because of what she was in her flesh, a Moabitess. Deuteronomy chapter 23 says, at verse 3, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Well, we've got a problem. You see, God's Lord pointed the finger, saying, you have no claim to come in. You have no claim to the blessings in the fields of Boaz, Ruth. You have no claim to even enter into this covenant family that I have chosen out of all other nations. You are a Moabitess, and you have no claim, you have no right to come in here, you've got no right to stay here, and the law is barring you out of this place. The law says to Ruth, no entry, no way can you come in, and that is final. Poor Ruth. I mean, what's she going to do? What is she going to do now? Do you know that the law, that it was weak through Ruth's flesh because of who and what she was in her flesh, a Moabitess? That's what you was in the flesh. And you know, like Paul is at pains in Romans 8, chapter 3, to tell us that. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Notice that. For what the law could not do, it couldn't do anything, because it was in Ruth's, her flesh, Ruth's flesh. That's where the law said, you are condemned by nature, a sinner in your flesh. What the law could not do, Paul says. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, listen, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now follow me here. What's happening? She's coming in, no entry. She stopped at the gate. What's she going to do? I'm a Moabite death. I can't change my origin. I can't change my nature. It's not my fault I was born a Moabite death. It's not my fault that I was born in that country. But I've forsaken it. I've forsaken its gods. I love Jehovah. And I want, and I see those fields, and I see those people now that I love. And I want to come in, but I can't step any further because it's no entry because of my flesh. But what can I do? Nothing. And that's exactly what the Bible says to you and I today. That if you are seeking the Lord, my friend, today, if you are not a Christian, I tell you that you can do nothing to enter into the covenant people of God. Nothing at all. You can do absolutely nothing to earn your salvation. You can do nothing for God's love and grace to be poured into your heart. You can do absolutely nothing at all. But there's just one thing. Do you know in this same law, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, we read this, at verse 19, there's a but. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the works of thine hands. Listen. For the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. Do you know what? Ruth now could come in to glean. She was a stranger. She was fatherless. She was a widow. And now all of a sudden what the law could not do, that it was weak through her flesh, there was this but of grace. And that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In that when the law said, you cannot come in, no entry, until you have those qualifications, she is now qualified. Under the law of Israel, she can come in and she can glean. Do you know that in Psalm 24 it says that a sinner cannot share a tent with God? This is the barrier we all have. Do you know that Moab is in your thinking and my thinking? More of Moab at times is in my thinking than I would like. Isn't that not the same as yourselves today? Isn't that not how you feel some of us as a Christian? That you have more of the world in your mind and in your thoughts and in your actions. And you have more of the world every day coming in upon you than what you would like. It's so hard to get rid of Moab and all its clutches and all its drawings and all its vanities and all its as in its way of drawing you back. Israel, didn't they not say, we want to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt? God was providing for them, but they wanted to go back. And you see, that's exactly what is happening here in this barrier. Moab is in her very thinking, but that same law made provision, and Ruth qualified on these three counts. But you know something else? How was this way made possible? that she now comes to glean. How is it? Is the law weakened? Is the law put to one side and forgotten about? Does God just overlook the law and just say, oh well, it's okay, sinner, you can come in. If you found favour on my side, it's all right. I can overlook the law this one time. I can overlook your sin this one time. No, not at all. Not at all. You see, what's so glorious about this chapter is this. The harvest time, they were gleaning. And listen. Ruth came in legally under the law to a field that she had never been to before. And what work did she have to do in this field? What did she have to do? Here now is grace, providence, that's taken her to the field of Boaz, to no other field. Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, as we shall go on and see, this field was all ready and prepared. And she didn't have to plow it. She didn't have to dig it. She didn't have to plant seed. She didn't have to go out and work these long hours in the day when it was time before the harvest in order that she would glean. All she had to do was come in by invitation to the field of Boaz and glean what was already provided for her. Do you see what's going on here? When God says to you, come, when God invites you into his own kingdom, when God invites you as a lost sinner, as a lost soul on the way to a lost eternity, when the gospel message goes out Sabbath after Sabbath, when you sit under the gospel message Sabbath after Sabbath, there's the invitation, come into a field that's already been prepared. Do you know what it says in John chapter 12, verse 24? It says this. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Now, listen. But if it dies, it provides much grain. Do you know what's amazing here? It is this. What will I find? I will find a finished work. A work in which I had no part in. And where is that? That is at Calvary. Brings us right back to this field. This field that I could only look at and yearn. And where the law said in my flesh, get pardon coming in. I now see another part of God's grace entering into this equation. And I see Calvary. And what's happening? Is the law being weakened? Is the law not satisfied? Of course it's satisfied. Its demands are satisfied. It's now because of Calvary. It's now because of the work of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, our own Boaz. Here at Calvary, he's going to say to the law, I will fulfill all your demand to the very last word and tittle. Do you see what's going to go on here? This field is going to be ploughed by the blood of Christ. And through the ploughing of the blood of Christ in this field, this corn of wheat is going to fall into the ground. And into this field that God has elected. God has chosen this field as an elected field. And out of this elected field, corn, one corn, one drop of corn, Christ himself, his death, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and now his ascension, his resurrection. It is because of this corn that out of us is going to be a field that is going to be overflowing for harvest time. Isn't it beautiful? All those barriers were taken down. A full and free invitation. Do you know that? It's like Some people are scared. They're scared at times that I don't understand the doctrines. The Spirit of God is thriving with them. And they're looking at other Christians and other Christians who are older in the faith, and they're thinking, I can't become a Christian because I'll never elevate to their standard. I'll never elevate to their knowledge. I'll never know the doctrine of election, of predestination, of regeneration. I'll never know the doctrines of all those things that other Christians speak about. And I feel isolated. I feel left out. And in a sense, you want to be close. You want to be with the Christian people. But the devil's saying to you, you're going to make a fool of yourself. But you know, the glorious thing about this field of Boaz, is that there is no sign saying that you must know A, B, C, D, E, E, F, G, H. There's not a sign saying that. There's a sign saying, come and put your trust and your faith in the one who has already done this work on your behalf. That's it. It's not about your knowledge. You can be sitting here today and you can have all the knowledge of the doctrines of God and yet not have the peace of God. You can have all the knowledge of God in your heart, in your mind, and in your thoughts, and all the doctrines squared off to a tittle and still not have it here, friend. This is what counts. Have you gleaned today? Where have you gleaned today? There's the barriers. Now the barriers are taken down. What do we have next? The bundles. Boaz knew her and spoke personally with her. In verse 8 of chapter 2. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter. Will you not? Amazing, isn't it? Here's this wealthy man of honor. Look at all these other fields in Bethlehem, Judah. And this man now is going to speak personally with this Moabite-esque woman, where the other people of the congregation wouldn't speak to her because she was a stranger, an outcast. Some would see her as filth, she was seen as filth to the people, and we won't look at you, Moabite-esque people, we won't have anything to do with you. And along comes Boaz. A man of wealth, a man of honour, and a man of grace. And he stoops down. Grace stoops down, friends, and meets humility. Boaz meets Ruth personally. Have you ever had a personal encounter with Christ? Have you? Do you know today what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? This man of wealth, this King of Kings, this man that sits at the right hand of God at this very moment, this man that is clothed in majesty and glory that our eyes cannot even comprehend, our minds cannot even understand in its full what and who he is today. Do you know what it is to have a personal encounter and conversation with this man, Jesus of Nazareth? And if you don't know what it is today to have that personal encounter, you cannot come into the field to glean. And if you cannot come into the field to glean, you are left on the outside, starving, being filled with things that will never suffice. See this chapter, she says, in verse 18 of chapter 2, then she took it up, that's the heap of barley, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back. Listen, after she was satisfied. After she was satisfied in the field of Boaz, after she was satisfied with the encounter that Boaz had with her, she wasn't left empty. She wasn't left a stranger in the sense that now she had encountered grace in all its glory. And he says to her, you're not going to go anywhere else, you Moabites.
You're not going to go into that man's field or that man's field. You're going to stay in my field. My field. And I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be the one that's going to look after you from now on. Don't go anywhere else. You know something, friend? If you're a Christian today, that's exactly what the devil will be tempting you to do. Oh, go back. God's not listening to your prayers. Go back. Far more satisfaction in the world. Go back. Temptations coming your way, left, right, and center. Go back. Your desires are turning bit by bit, and the world is becoming more of an attraction. Look at that field. It's got so much more people in it, and look at them. They seem to be so happy. And look at them. They're laughing, and they're joking, and they're enjoying themselves, and you're alone, and you're feeling alone in this field. And all the other reapers in this field are all gone before you. And that's what's happening here. Ruth is coming behind the reapers. She's coming behind the men that are taking up the harvest. And you see, Christian friend, that's the way it can be for us sometimes. Those bundles that we once experienced in our Christian lives, now they're becoming so few and far between, aren't they not? When you started off as a believer, you got bundles upon bundles upon bundles of the grace of God. You were enjoying the love, the peace. You were enjoying fellowship with Christ. You were enjoying intimacy with Christ. You were enjoying the gospel. It was fresh. It was alive in you. It was quickening you. You couldn't but speak to others about it. Where are you today? Where are you clinging today? Where is the bundles today? Are you still receiving the bundles from the fields of Boaz through the word of God? Where are you gleaning? Or is all your attention in all the other fields of the world? Is your attention in the field of finance? Is your attention in the field of property? Is your attention in the field of making yourself in your job to become more and more of a director? Where is your attention? What field are you in today? Have you jumped over the fence? Just to see what it's like? Or are you coming backwards, nearer the gate, the exit, out of the field of Boaz? Is that where you're at? She has bundles, more than enough. Do you know there was personal interest? Do you know how many times, Christian, have you been at wit's end corner? And God dropping handfuls of purpose in your lap. When the word takes wings coming into your soul. When you've been alone. And sorrow has filled your heart. And all of a sudden out of nowhere the word of God takes flight. Comes into your very soul. And uplifts you. Cannot explain to other people. But it takes you. And it uplifts you. Times of prayer where you've been refreshed. And God has given you a bundle. Here. And you know when Ruth was gleaning. You see, Boaz said something. And he says this. He says in verse 15. And when Boaz... And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves." He didn't have to do that. That was not lawful. This is now extravagant grace, isn't it not? "Among the sheaves, and do not reproach her." Listen, 16. "Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely." On purpose. This was an intention. When they were picking up all the grains, all the sheaves, they were going to deliberately drop. And Ruth was going to come behind. And you can imagine that. Is this really for me? Have they really left this much for me? Is this field going to provide for me this much all the time? Yes, friends. That's exactly
That's exactly what God's grace does in His bundles, in His abundant mercy. They surely shall be satisfied with what? With His abundant grace. They shall be filled, and they shall go on being filled. If you're weeping, if you're meditating, if that is where your interest is in the field of Boaz, in the scriptures, in the word of God, you will be sufficed and you will have bundles and bundles every single day of your Christian life. You will be sufficed. But you know, there's this. Has God left a bundle on your lap? And have you stood up and stood on it and walked away from it? Have you? How many people today are underneath the preaching of the Word of God and are receiving bundles upon bundles upon bundles, and they stand up and they just stand on it and leave it what it is and they walk right out the door. Not even a thank you, not even an acknowledgement. But this is one thing I'll remind you of. You see, every bundle that you receive, and you take this serious, and me with you, every gospel sermon, every witness you have had about Christ, your soul, heaven and hell, from the time that you were taken into this world and able to work things out for yourselves until the time you depart, every bundle will stand before you on the judgment day of Christ. And if you are not in Christ, He will point and He'll say, every bundle is going to be your judgment and your condemnation and your damnation in our lost eternity. And you will know and you will remember every single bundle you stood on. And that's what's going to be the never dying worm of your conscience. You stand up today, you walk out, you leave that bundle here, that's fine. But I tell you one thing, it will be to your judgment and it will be to your condemnation, to your never dying soul in a lost eternity. Fact. And finally, and very briefly, we've seen that she had the boundaries, we've seen the bundles, but barriers, sorry, we've seen now bundles, and now it's blessings. She wanted nothing more and needed nothing more. That bread that truly came down from heaven. Do you know, many saints travelled this world and they had nothing. And I mean in the physical, in the materialistic sense. They had nothing. Nothing at all. They had one pair, maybe two pairs of shoes. Maybe they had a dime in the pocket. Maybe many preachers you read of in the past had one suit, 10 years old, holes in it. They had nothing, but they had everything. They had Christ. They had all the riches that this world could never give them. They had this blessing from Christ. And you know, God is the only one that can save and give this blessing. And for every soul that God saves, it is an echo of the satisfaction of God in Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian today, you're echoing time and time again that God is satisfied with what Christ has done. That's the echo of your soul today. That's the blessing that you're having today. I'm a believer in Christ, being chosen to glean in the fields of Boaz. Do you know what Ruth says? Boaz says to her, you're going to stay in this field and you're going to glean. She went out that morning by faith and she had nothing. But she had everything. She had nothing materialistically of this world. But she had everything that was important for her soul. Her faith was put in action and it was rewarded abundantly. What happens today? She comes back to her mother-in-law, feeds her. What does she say? I've got to go back tomorrow to the same field. I've got to go back the next day to the same field. I've got to keep going back until the end of the barley harvest. In other words, I'm going to keep getting the supply of grace and food that I need for my soul, physically and spiritually. In other words, Christian friend, it's never going to run dry. You're never going to be in a place where God is going to say, I cannot suffice for you just now. You're never going to be in a position where you're going to hear Christ say, your burden is too heavy for my shoulders. I cannot listen to you just now. I've got too many other burdens to worry about over there. I've got too many other people to worry about here. Your burden cannot be heard. I cannot carry it. You'll never hear that from the throne of God. But what you'll hear is, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, that are carrying burden upon burden, and I will supply the grace today for that burden. I will supply the grace tomorrow for that burden. I will supply the grace the next day and the next day, until finally, she will come into that field where there will be no more labor needed to be done. The blessing eventually will take her into that state where she shall see her Boaz in all his glory. Who knows what's in front of me? But I know that the grace of God will keep me. I know what's gone behind me. And I know that in places my feet have slipped. And I know it wasn't for grace that I wouldn't be standing here today. But hitherto he's taken me this far. Who knows from what mountaintop I'm going to be on? More frightening at times, who knows what valley I'm going to be in? But I know his grace will take me through it. And what he has done, in that the law was weak, through the flesh of the Moabites, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Take your bundles, and I'll ask, where have you gleaned today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that we would know what it is in our souls to find bundles of promises through thy word, and bundles of blessings through thy word, and bundles great delight and joy in fellowshipping with thy people, and not because of us, and in spite of our sin, and in spite of all that all of Moab which still remains within us, we ask today that we would be given a bundle, and that we would be sufficed, and that we would leave here rejoicing, knowing that we have been gleaning in the field of Christ. This we ask in his name. Amen.